1 Corinthians chapter 15 is where we're going to be tonight. If you have your Bible, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, if you don't have a Bible, feel free to grab a Bible in the pew in front of you. And we're in the New Testament in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We have been actually studying through this book now for quite a while, and we're getting near the end. We're in chapter 15, and there's 16 chapters. We are actually coming to a section here that is very fascinating. Just to kind of give you a little bit of background, there were some false teachers who had infiltrated the local church here at Corinth, and they were denying the physical resurrection of the dead. They were saying, there's no resurrection. There's no physical resurrection of the dead. In verse 12, if you look down at verse 12, Paul said, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead?" And so there were people among them that were saying that there's no resurrection. So Paul devotes an entire chapter here, and he is defending the truth of Christ's resurrection and then the implications of that. That if Christ rose from the dead, then that ensures the resurrection of those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he does a really masterful job of doing that and explaining the truth of the resurrection. But Paul, like he did many times, he anticipated some questions from skeptics in the church about the resurrection. And if you look down there at verse 35, he says, "But some man will say," so he's anticipating a question here, "How are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come?" So he says, you know what? I know some of you in there, you're going to say, "Well, Paul, how's this going to happen, and what kind of body are they going to have, people who rise up from the dead?" And here's why they're saying that. These skeptics in the church, they knew that the body, what happens to the body? When you die, what happens to your body? It decays. It goes back to dust, right? You open up a casket, it's been there for hundreds of years, and it's dust with some bones. The body goes back to dust. We were created out of the dust of the earth, and the body then returns. The flesh of the body goes back to dust. Therefore, these skeptics, they're saying, okay, this is an impossibility. You cannot raise up a decomposed body and put that thing back together again. They're saying that is impossible. So Paul anticipates the question. And he said, I know that some of you are going to say, well, how are the dead raised up? And with what body could they possibly have? And of course, last week we saw that he used the illustration of a seed. You put a seed in the ground, you sow a seed into the ground. And we know from, you know, scientific studies and what the Bible teaches too, that seed dies. And when it dies, that shell of that seed breaks open and the shoots, you know, come forth out of it. And in that seed is the germ of life. It dies, but out of it, out of the seed then comes life. And then the life that comes from the seed, okay, and Paul used the illustration of wheat, The life that comes out of the seed doesn't look like the seed that was buried in the ground. I mean, if you bury some seed, some wheat seed, does the wheat that comes above the ground, does it look like the seed that went in the ground? Yes or no? No, it's a different body. But yet it's connected to that seed. The life of it comes from the seed that was sown into the ground. It has a different body than the original seed that was buried in the dirt, but yet it's a continuation of life from that original seed. They're connected. See, you don't sow wheat and get barley. Amen? You don't sow beans and get okra. Right? Boy, I love okra. You guys know that. Don't get me started on okra tonight, all right? But what's the point? Well, here's the point. When you are raised up from the dead, if you've put your faith in Christ, when resurrection day comes, and it will, when Christ returns and he's promised to resurrect those who are dead in Christ, then your resurrection body is going to be connected to your original physical body. It's still you, but yet Paul says it'll be a different kind of body, just as the wheat that comes up out of the ground is a different body than the seed, but yet they're connected. He's saying, you know what? You're going to get a different kind of body. And he uses the illustration, if you read down through here, you look down here at verse 38, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there's one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. He uses the illustration of nature. And God places boundaries between the genetic structures of these animals and mankind and beasts and birds and fish. They all reproduce after their kind. What's the point? If God can make different bodies in his creation on earth, why can't God make and create a different kind of resurrection body for you and me? And then he uses the illustration of celestial bodies in the heavens. And he talks about the sun. He talks about the moon and the stars. They're different bodies, and they're created with a different purpose in mind. And Paul is doing all this now to set up what he is going to give as a description of our resurrection bodies that we're going to have in eternity. How many of you would kind of like to know what kind of body you're going to have out there in heaven? Would you like that? You want to know about that? Well, this text is going to tell you about the body that you're going to have out there in eternity. The resurrection body that you're going to have. Now let's look at it and we'll go through this. Verse 42. He says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It, that is your body, it is sown in corruption. But your resurrection body, that's your natural body, but your resurrection body is going to be raised up in what? Now we talked about that the last time we were together. And that is that Adam, when he sinned, what ended up happening to his body? Because of his sin, he ended up what? Dying. Now, he lived a long time, but finally his body did wear out, right? And you know, 70, 80, 90 years, our body disintegrates and our body returns to dust. It's sown in corruption. Paul said our resurrection bodies are going to be raised up in incorruption. That is, our new bodies will not have the capability of corruption. They will not be subject to decay in any way. Isn't that good news? And you remember, we talked about this the last time we were together. Our new bodies will not be subject to disease or sickness. Amen. When you get to heaven and you get your resurrection body, you are not going to be carrying on the business of heaven with a headache. All right, isn't that great? There won't be any more of that. You know, and we talked about this the last time we were together. We try so hard to compensate for the natural deterioration process that takes place in these bodies, these clay vessels, but that won't be necessary in eternity. You're going to have a body that's always functioning at top level, and it's never going to run out of gas. You know, you ever just feel whipped? Aren't you glad in eternity you're not going to feel whipped anymore? You know, you're not going to run out of gas. You're going to have a body that will always function at top level efficiency. You'll have a body that is incorruptible. And then let's look at the second thing here. Look at verse 43. He says that our natural bodies are sown in dishonor. They're sown in dishonor. But he said our new bodies, it is raised in what? Now this is going to get real exciting tonight. Paul says that our bodies are sown in dishonor. Now, I want you to think about that a minute. Typically, what happens when somebody dies? Well, when somebody dies, you take the body of that person, you put it in a box, and then you bury that box in the earth. And the body is cold and it's lifeless. And the body speaks to the fact that you lost the battle with death. You couldn't beat it. It speaks to the fact that death defeated you. The only other option is sometimes people will take the body, they'll put it through the fires of a crematory, and then they'll burn the body into ashes. Either way, the body goes back to dust. The body returns back to dust. Either way, no matter how hard you try and make the disposal of a body honorable by burning it or burying it, death reflects the fact that the sin nature inhabited our bodies. And the dishonor is because the law of sin, the Bible says, dwells in our flesh. Paul calls it a vile body in Philippians 3:21. He says that God is going to change our vile body on Resurrection Day, and we're going to get a body fashioned like unto His glorious body. So Paul calls our bodies a vile body that is sown in dishonor. Now, if you don't believe that your body is vile, try not washing it for 4 or 5 days. Okay? If you die, what if people did nothing to your body and just let it lay there for a week? Would you agree it is a vile body? But Paul said our new bodies are going to be raised in glory. When you are raised up from the dead, your new body is going to reveal, it's going to demonstrate, and it's going to reflect the glory of our Savior Jesus Christ. Sown in dishonor, raised in glory. A lady puts on fancy clothes. A lady covers up all the blemishes with makeup. She takes her hair and fixes it all up. She curls it and does stuff to it to try to make it look attractive. She takes perfume and squirts it on that body. She takes some jewelry and hangs it on there. And somebody says to her, "You are radiant." Now, it may have taken 4 hours and a pile of money to do it. It may have taken 4 hours and a pile of money to make that vile body radiant, but she's radiant, amen? I'm being funny, but did you know your resurrection body is not going to be necessary to go through all that? Did you know that in heaven, in eternity, when you get your resurrection body, it's going to be raised in glory. It is going to naturally radiate the glory of your Savior, Jesus Christ. When people look at you in eternity, they're going to see the glory of Jesus Christ. In Romans, go back to Romans, the book before 1 Corinthians. Keep your bookmarker here. We're going to come right back. But go to Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter 8. Look back here. Romans 8, verse 18. Now, ladies, I hope you all didn't take that personal a second ago. Some of you, I know you don't do anything and you're still beautiful. That's great. All right. Romans. You know when to say amen, don't you, brother? Brother Paul's over here. Amen. He's just trying to make brownie points is all he's doing. Romans 8:18. Tanya's on to you, brother. Romans 8:18, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time," and boy, doesn't that describe the age we live in today. "The sufferings of this present time," but he says, you know what? "They're not worthy to be compared with the," what? "Glory which shall be revealed," where? Woo, isn't that exciting? In eternity, the glory of Jesus Christ is going to be revealed what? In us. Man, that's good. Look at 2 Corinthians. Go over there. 2 Corinthians. That's right after 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And look at verse 16. This is good, man. That's one of my favorite passages right here. 2 Corinthians 4:16. It says, "For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish," and it does, our outward man gets tired, it gets weary, you know, it gets old, you know, "though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our," and this is where it gets good, verse 17, "for our light affliction, which is but for a moment," look at this, he says, "it's working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of what? Glory. Aren't you glad to know you're going to demonstrate the glory of God in eternity? Your resurrection body is going to be raised up in glory. I like when the Apostle Paul is writing to the Colossians and he says to them, remember where he says, set your affection on things what? Above, not on things on the earth. And then he goes on to say in that passage, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Man, I like that. Remember the passage I quoted a few minutes ago? Paul said that we're looking for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he appears, he said he's going to change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his, Christ. You remember how he describes the body of Christ? His glorious body. He said, we're going to get a body fashioned like unto Christ's glorious body. Can I share with you tonight that when you die and when you're buried, or whatever, however it is they dispose of your body, when you die and they dispose of your body, that tells people who you are. That tells them, yep, there he was a sinner like everybody else in whose flesh dwelt the law of sin. So when you die the first time, that tells everybody about who you are. But when you are raised on resurrection day, your resurrection body is going to tell people who Christ is. And it is going to demonstrate his glory. Your body is sown in dishonor, but it's going to be raised in glory. Your new body that you're going to get in heaven is going to naturally and instinctively radiate the character, the essence, and the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, let me tell you something. You're going to be radiant in eternity. You're going to be radiant. You are going to have radiant beauty. And you know what? Isn't that what we want to do right now, is radiate the life of Christ? Isn't that what we want to do? I mean, don't we want to show forth the life of Jesus Christ? And man, we really want to do that. We strive to do that. We long to do that. We want to do it. We want people to see Christ in us. But boy, I tell you what, sometimes some things kind of get in the way, don't they? And sometimes our, you know, these old vile bodies give us fits. But you know what, folks? In that day, in eternity, it's going to be a reality. It's going to be a reality. I said it's going to be a reality. There won't be any flesh to hold you down any longer. The attributes, the character, and the life of Jesus Christ is going to be put on display through us. Let me show you something neat. Look at Ephesians chapter number 2. Great, great verse right here. Ephesians chapter 2, and look down here with me. Look at verse 6. Again, we're talking about the resurrection. And notice in verse 6, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6, it says that God has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, he might show, God's going to show something in us, that he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Look up here and listen to me very closely. The attributes, the character, the grace, and the life of Jesus Christ is going to be put on display through us in the ages to come. Your body may be sown in dishonor, but friend, it's going to be raised in glory. And you're going to have a body that is going to radiate the glory of your Savior, Jesus Christ. Isn't that exciting, church? Man, that's exciting. I tell you, that's just enough to just really just cause you to just, I don't know, just shout or do something. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15. Let's go back to our text and let's look at the next thing here. We got time, I think, to handle one more of these. Look at verse 43. So he says your body is going to be sown in dishonor. When you die, it's sown in dishonor into the earth, but it's raised in glory. Then he says your body is sown in weakness, but he says it's raised in what? Power. So our resurrection bodies are going to have what? Power. They're going to be raised in power. Now, even at our best, are these physical fleshly bodies are weak. Would you agree with me? They said about the Apostle Paul, they said, you know, his speech is powerful. They said, but his bodily presence is weak. It's weak. Now, even the most physically fit bodies, even those bodies who, I mean, are just toned and are just physically fit, have limitations. And even the most physically fit person gets tired. I mean, a fella may be able to bench press 350 pounds of weight, but you know what? I would love to see that guy try to walk through that wall right there. I'm being serious right now. I mean, you take a guy who can bench press 400 pounds and then say, okay, big guy, walk through that wall right there. Just walk through it. Just bust right through the wall. Do you think he could do it? He's not going to do it. He's not going to get very far, is he? He's not going to get real far trying to walk through that wall. Hey, can I share something neat with you? Go to John chapter 20. Let me show you something. John chapter 20. This is after the resurrection, okay? And the disciples are in a room with the doors shut. They're afraid. They're in fear of the Jews. They're afraid maybe they're next, okay? They've watched the crucifixion. They have not seen Christ resurrected yet. So they're very afraid, which is stands to reason. They were associated with Christ. Christ has been crucified. They're afraid maybe they're next. So in verse 19, if you look at John 20, verse 19, it says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were what? Shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Now, get the picture. They're in a room that is locked. The doors are shut, windows are barred closed. And all of a sudden, Jesus appears to them. The wall was of no effect to him in his resurrection body. His body was not limited by the laws of physical matter any longer. He was able to walk right through the wall and just appear to them in that room. Would you agree with me that's power? You're going to have a resurrection body like Jesus Christ. Look at John 20, verse 17. Look back at verse 17. Let's show you something else fascinating. Jesus says unto her, this is Mary, not his mother, but Mary Magdalene. He says to her, touch me not. Now look at this. For I am not yet ascended to my Father. He had not yet went up to heaven, to the third heaven, to perform his priestly duties, to take his blood, as Hebrews 10 says, and to sprinkle his blood on the mercy seat of heaven. He said, I'm not yet ascended. Don't touch me. I've still got my high priestly duties to perform. But he says, go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. So he says, you can't touch me. Why? I haven't ascended up to the third heaven and performed those high priestly duties yet. I haven't taken my blood and sprinkled it there on the mercy seat of heaven. But if you cross-reference with this, and we're not going to turn here, but in Matthew 28, 9, which is no more within 2 hours of this, within 2 hours, he allows a group of ladies to touch him. They grab a hold of his feet. So here you have this event, Matthew 28, less than 2 hours later, they touch him. Now, what is that? Now, I'm putting something together here. That means that In 2 hours, Christ had left planet Earth. Christ had ascended to the third heaven. He'd come and performed his priestly duties, came back down to planet Earth, and allows people to touch him. Does all this in a 2 hour window. Now, I don't know, maybe you don't realize the impact of that, but I'm going to put something on the screen that's going to put this in perspective. Can we bring it up? The closest star to Earth, not including the sun. Look at that figure. The closest star to Earth, in case you're wondering, that's 24 trillion miles away. That's the closest. Now wrap your mind around that. Okay? Now let's go to the next screen. A light second is equal to 186,000 miles. A light year, okay, is 5,865,696,000,000 miles. That's a light year. You with me? All right. Does anybody know the name of the galaxy that planet Earth is in? Come on, now you eat them all the time. The Milky Way galaxy, you ready, is 100,000 light years across. You say, what is that? Just our galaxy that we're in is 586. How did you say that, Brian, the other day? Is Brian in here? Quadrillion. Just our galaxy is 586 quadrillion, 569 trillion, 600 million miles across. What'd I say? Did I say it wrong? You got the idea. All right. Let's go to the next one. The Andromeda galaxy is about 2.3, this is another galaxy, is 2.3 million light years away from planet Earth. Are you having trouble wrapping your mind around that? 2.3 million light years. Can you go back to the screen that shows what a light year is? Can we go back to that? A light year, the next one, is 5,865,000,000,000 miles. The Andromeda Galaxy is 2.3 million of those. Now, folks, I'm not even going to try to say that, because that is 2.3 million times 5 trillion, almost 6 trillion miles. That's how far away that galaxy is. Now, can I share this with you? Just for you to go to another galaxy in this massive universe that God created, just for you to go to another galaxy and to get there in a spaceship, not that you could, but if you did, if you went to another galaxy in a spaceship, just one, a close galaxy to us, your grandchildren would be old before you would ever get there. And are you ready for this? That's just one galaxy, 2.3 million light years away. There are more than 100 billion galaxies in the observable universe. 100 billion galaxies in the observable, that's what they can see in the observable universe. Now, I want you to get the picture. Christ went through the entire massive universe to the third heaven, performed his high priestly functions, and was back to planet Earth in less than 2 hours. That means he was traveling way faster than the speed of light, which is 186,000 miles per second. you're going to have a body like Christ. Now, would you agree with me? That's power. If we are going to function, if we are going to oversee this massive universe in eternity, which we will, if we're going to oversee the angelic host in the heavenly places, which we will, then we're going to need some bodies with some power. And friend, we're going to have them. We're going to have the horsepower. Amen. You're going to have it. Do you understand why Paul said that our bodies are sown in weakness but raised in power? Are you looking forward to your resurrection body? What did we learn already about them? You're going to have a body incorruptible, no decay, no deterioration process, no sickness, no disease, nothing like that can ever deteriorate your body. You're going to have a body, he said, that is going to be raised up, he said, in power. You're going to have a body that is so powerful. You're going to have a body like that of Christ. Christ is walking through walls after his resurrection from the dead. Christ is traveling much, much faster than the speed of light. And you're going to have a body that not only is powerful and it's not only incorruptible, you're going to have a body that may be sown in weakness. And that's going to tell people about you. But you're going to have a body that is raised up in glory that's going to tell people about Jesus Christ. And you're going to have a body that will radiate the essence and the character and the life of your Savior, Jesus Christ. Y'all ready to learn some more about this? All right, next week we're going to learn some more, all right? So let's stop there for tonight. And next week I'm going to come back and I'm going to give you a couple of more things about your resurrection body. Next week, we're going to tackle the question, will we recognize each other in our resurrection bodies? And we're going to study that, and we're going to look at that, okay? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer.